It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And we're happening.
Good. It's important to be happening.
Word. Sorry, I didn't mean to bite your style there.
Yeah.
Did I tell you a while back, I caught myself one day using the phrase, how I roll, unironically?
Really?
Yeah, because I had used it. My parents have this with some stuff, although they won't admit to it. But if you use something ironically long enough, you eventually forget.
Just start using it.
And
yeah.
One day I was like, that's just how I roll. To Trish, and I was like, oh, shit. And she said, what? And I said, I don't think I was being ironic. I think I was just explaining how I roll. And then I killed myself. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that changes both color and flavor while you listen.
Mm-hmm.
It's the everlasting gobstopper of podcasts.
That's right.
So enjoy that. It's an interaction with the saliva. We'll spare you the science, but anyway.
We're very proud of that.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 134.
Woohoo!
I believe.
134. Truly uninteresting number.
Yeah.
What's half that?
What's half of 134?
Yeah, what? 67? 67?
67?
Yeah, not that interesting.
Yeah.
All right, then. It has been 1 week since our last confession.
Don't even start.
But as William was just pointing out before we hit record, yes, we did exchange like 2 sentences before we started recording. Deal with it, people. That's our private business. He said it felt like more than a week since he had been here, and I would agree. Does it feel like more than a week since you've listened?
Did you miss us?
Did you? Because we missed you.
Apparently.
We don't know why, because we can't hear you during this, but we missed the belief that somebody is listening. We tricked out of the one assumption that makes our life bearable, that somebody is watching. Do you know where that's from?
No. I mean, yes, but no, I don't remember.
Bonus points for people who can place that. Nobody gets it, I'll at least tell you the actor. Anyway, how was your only week?
Well, let's see. Scott and I did record a podcast last Thursday.
Hot Shots Part 2.
Screenshots.
Part 2. Screenshots Part 2.
Iron Man versus Batman.
Oh, yeah, who won?
Well, you'd have to listen to find out that.
No, I wouldn't. Yes. I know you, Batman.
Won. No, you'll have to listen. You'll have to listen to find out who won, and yeah, I thought it turned out pretty good. So that's cool. Let's see what else. Well, I mean, I've been working on a lot of things. Been working on the Briar Rose script a little bit, filling out some character development and some relationship stuff.
I actually thought about going to a gaming convention that I heard about up in Madison, Wisconsin. And after I already had decided I was not going to do that, I realized it was the weekend of the next reading. So it's a good thing I decided that.
Yeah, that is a good thing.
Yeah.
Good for me, anyway. Let's see, what else? I'm just working on things in general. I can't think of anything that... I mean, I went home. I went down to the farm because my sister's birthday was last Thursday, as a matter of fact.
So you were here on her birthday?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem right.
I was here on my sister's birthday. Were they having a gathering that you skipped? No. Usually when someone's birthday falls on the week, we just get together on the weekend.
That makes sense.
But it's really only for my benefit because, you know, I have one brother who lives in Alaska, so he's not going to make it back in any case. And everybody else lives kind of in the Des Moines area, so they pretty much all get together. Like, I think they did get together on Thursday anyway. Mm. So getting together on the weekend is mostly for me. And so we did that, which was fun. I always love going back down to the farm, and especially this time of year. I can't think of anything else. What about you?
This weekend didn't do a lot. I have started playing, and I'm now deep into Assassin's Creed 3, which is the fifth game in the series, for those who are paying attention at home.
Right.
And the producer watched most of me playing because she wanted to see the beginning, and then it got a little bit weird, and we were sort of waiting for the introductory part to be done, and it sort of stretches out for a very long time, so she watched me play a lot of it.
Oh.
It's kind of different than the other ones. I think I'm really starting to get into it. It took a little while. It has some really cool story elements that, as usual, I wasn't expecting. Assassin's Creed tends to be good for that. They come up with twists. Your household has played some of them.
Not anyone who's still in the household, and we didn't
really watch. Okay.
We didn't really watch it being played very much. Mm-hmm. Have you played all of them, or just the first, just one and two?
I have played all the main series ones.
So this is
my fifth one.
Game. Okay.
Yes, and it is. I claim it is my second favorite series after Mass Effect. I was a little annoyed. I'm gonna give you a spoiler-free rant here.
Okay.
It's a little weird, but. And I was trying to figure out ways to sort of, like, narrow it down so people who know the games will know what I'm talking about, but others won't. And I was like, oh, I don't even want to spoil that there's, like, a cliffhanger kind of thing. But here's what I figured out when I thought about it. There's pretty much a major, like, huge game-changing cliffhanger at the end of every game.
Okay.
So, spoiler alert, every game. Like, that's the thing. There's always, like, a big reveal at the end. It's not the same kind of thing, but there's just always something you're like, whoa. Yes, I'm spoiling every game ever. No, in Assassin's Creed. In Assassin's Creed. Get back, witch.
And after what you just did, she's not even sure she wants to be that anymore. Which, well, by the way, where's the witch on your door? It's October
now. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Witch didn't get up at all last year because we lost one of the hooks. I know where the witch is, but I still don't know where the fucking hooks are. Anyway, we'll get to that. So, what I'm about to talk about concerns the major wow, world-altering, mind-blowing thing that happens at the end of Brotherhood, the third game. Those of you who have played it should know what the hell I'm talking about. And it left big questions. Big questions. And Revelations, which was the next game, did not address these questions. Which was kind of okay. It was dealing with other things. But those questions were still there.
Okay.
And then I start playing this game. And just casually, in conversation amongst characters, those questions have been resolved. The answer's known. Everybody knows the answers, and they're talking about it, like, 'cause they already know. And I am like, what do heck? I'm really kind of pissed, because it's like a big thing.
That's really no way to reveal.
And I'm like, what? So I researched that night. And I was like, oh, maybe I should hold off. I don't want to accidentally find spoilers to this game. But I'm like, no, I need to do this. And I eventually find out.
Yeah.
The answers were revealed in a DLC.
Oh, no. Oh, that's awful.
In the last game. And not only just a DLC, but a really shitty DLC. Like, I don't want to give away, but there's a certain mechanic that was built into one of the games mm-hmm. that was really annoying, but I sort of went through it. And this is a DLC that is just all that shitty mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like, I wouldn't have played this if it was for free.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it got revealed. And then we didn't reiterate, and we reiterate the whole damn plot of the game in every game, just in case there's new people.
Yeah.
We didn't cover this at all.
Wow.
I was so pissed off.
That's too bad.
But I'm getting into it now, and yeah, and there's some really neat things that have been happening. And it's, yeah, it's very cool. I have some hunting tips for those of you who wish to go hunting in Assassin's Creed 3. There is hunting. There's a lot of hunting. So there's a lot of open ground, and you can hunt, and then you can, like, sell things and craft leather things and stuff like that. So first of all, you should know, you will learn there are wolves, and wolves can kill you if you're not careful. You may also eventually learn there are bobcats. Basically, treat bobcats just like wolves. They will kill you the same exact way. So be careful with that. Second thing I learned, when you shoot an arrow at an elk, the elk does not die. The elk gets really pissed off and runs at you. And then you get to fight the elk with your bare hands. So be prepared for this. And the third thing I discovered is a really good system for how to hunt a raccoon. Because, you know, I'm trying. You want to do different animals and stuff and try it out. And there's lots of things. There's so many things built into this. There are snares. There's bait. You find clues of where animals are and stuff like that. It's a whole thing. But I found a foolproof process for hunting a raccoon.
Okay.
You see a raccoon. Mm-hmm. Two steps. Step one, approach the raccoon. Step two, while it is looking at you curiously, beat it to death with your bare hands. Mm. That's it. Every other animal in the game runs away from you. Raccoon just looks at you. So I hit X, and it's dead. So, in Assassin's Creed 3, raccoons are stupid.
And then you make a hat or something.
Yes. I am concerned. I've been killing dogs, and I don't feel really good about this. They're guard dogs. Like, guarding treasure chests, and they'll alert the guards if they sense me, so I have to kill them to get to the treasure chest. But it feels weird killing dogs. I'm also feeling weird about killing tax collectors.
Why is that?
Well, in Assassin's Creed, spoiler alert again, you kill a lot of people. It's a game where you play an assassin.
Right, which makes it odd for you to feel funny about killing a dog.
Well, no, I just feel weird about that. Well, actually, I feel weird about the dogs. Similar reasons I feel weird about the tax collectors now that I think about it.
Okay.
By and large, the people, in fact, pretty much across the board, the people you kill fall into two camps. Mm-hmm. One are your specific, like, assassin...
Target,
yeah. And there's usually a damn good reason.
Because they're not good people.
Stuff happen. And usually, like, either we need to make this happen, it's very important, and we can't as long as they're alive, or we need to stop this terrible thing from happening, and we can't as long as they're alive.
You know?
There are reasons. I understand it fits in the story. And the second camp of people are soldiers and guards. They're all in the military. They all will attack me and try and kill me.
Self-defense.
Not always entirely, but... Because sometimes I'm sneaking up on them, and shit. Sometimes they don't even know. But
it would have been self-offense.
If they know who I am, they try and kill me. And they're in the military. Like, it comes with the job that they're guarding because people like me show up. You know, I get that. Dogs, I don't know what the fuck's going on. And the tax collector, this is pre-Revolutionary War, like right before the Revolution. And I'm sort of helping the revolutionary cause. And one thing is I'm helping liberate the areas
United
and
States,
stuff.
You mean, America.
Yes, the American Revolution. And like, there's
the French Revolution.
British soldiers, like, breaking into people's houses because they refuse to quarter them and shit. I help them, and I kill the soldiers or whatever. But then there's these ones where there's tax collectors outside their house. And they're not, like, shooting the people in the house or anything. They're out there saying, give us your money, damn it. So, to deal with that, yes, you know, you could be like, get out of here, or, you know, or even beat them up and say, don't come back, or, you know, or if I was being really magnanimous, I'd pay it or whatever. No, these are not your options. What you do is you just straight up murder them.
You don't even have an option to do anything else?
Well, I could just skip it. They're there, and the game's like, oh, save that person from those tax collectors. And it's not like a mission. It's a side
thing.
Yet
there seems something...
But there's not another way to do it. I just wake up and just murder them.
There seems something very American about that.
That's the thing. The whole thing is being very creepy to me in that sense. And
just
to be
kill
fair...
Them. Just kill
well, actually,
the tax
no, this
collectors.
Is a terrible argument. I was making this argument earlier today to somebody. I was like, to be fair, all the tax collectors do have guns with bayonets, and they do start attacking me... ... after I kill the first one. Never mind. Because they don't attack me before then. Yeah, so it's just a little weird.
But you know the game designers were sitting in a room thinking about this and said, yeah, let's just kill them. Let's just kill the tax collectors.
That's what you do. I mean, you kill tons of people, but they all fall into those two camps. So, you know, I don't really... It's not. It's a violent game, but there's something just weird about this.
You know, you're I don't want to change it. Yes, I am going to change the subject.
Well, I'm done with that one, but I'm not done with my week.
I know, but I just want to say one of my pet peeves is when a TV show has a big cliffhanger and then...
Gets canceled?
No, in the season premiere, they resolve it in like the first 2 minutes.
Oh my God, and it happens so much.
Yeah.
It happens so much.
I hate that.
That does not happen with this game.
Okay, good.
No, in general, these are more like world-changing revelation kind of things.
Okay.
There are some that are like cliffhangers and stuff, but and it sort of goes together. Like, it's one of those things that, like, it asks big questions that now you don't have the answers to. But it's not like, it's not big questions like, do they fall and die? Do they make it out of, you know? It's okay. Bigger questions. But wait, what does this mean about such and such, you know? And I still highly recommend the series. And then, last night, saw a movie.
What'd you see?
Nothing in the theater, because it all sucks right now in the theater. I don't want to see nothing. We watched Oblivion.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, what did you think of it?
Here's the thing. My opinion changed. I've been noticing this. Have I mentioned this before on here? I'm at a point now in my life, I think partially due to internet culture and partially due to this podcast, where I cannot experience media without, as I'm experiencing it, already thinking up how I'm going to tell people what I thought about it. And it is particularly bad with movies. As I'm watching movies, like I'm in the first 20 minutes and I'm already starting a review of it in my head. And I'm really unhappy about that. I can't just experience it.
No, that doesn't happen to me.
So that being said, my review of this movie changed a great deal throughout the movie. But here's the problem. It started at mediocre and went down. Okay, here's the short version. It's not good. Don't see it. It's not terrible, however, though, so if you've got nothing to do and it's on cable, sure, why not? That's my short answer. My longer answer is, it's got a lot of cliches in it. It's, the ending is a train wreck. The ending sucks. And it has maybe slightly more than its fair share of problematic sexist bullshit. I don't know. It's right in there. It's not like I think people should boycott it, but all the female characters in it, of which I believe there are two, are terrible. Terrible characters. And the lead in particular is just awful. Oh, that's true. There's technically three, and they are still all terrible. But the lead in particular is awful. All of that being said, the part I liked, the good part, is it is some good old-fashioned science fiction. It is high-tech, post-apocalyptic sci-fi with cool sets and neat special effects, and just very straightforward. You know, there's people in spaceships and they're shooting at things, and we all wear suits with weird piping on them and stuff. It's just good old-fashioned sci-fi, which is hard to come by these days. And I enjoyed that aspect of it. But all the things I just mentioned before meant that at the beginning I was like, this is not going to be impressive, but it's going to be fun. And I kind of am digging that vibe. And then as it went on, I was like, nah, no. What did you think?
This is kind of eerie because everything you just said, exactly what I would have said. Everything. Including at the end where you talked about how, in fact, that's as you were talking, I thought, this is the thing I'm going to have to bring up when he's done talking, is about how the aesthetic was really very cool, very well-designed film.
In some ways, I'm very grateful to it because I think it was really good for my synapses right now while we're planning out this new campaign.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it really did stuff to my mind for that.
The vehicle that he was in, I thought, was really cool, really well-designed. I thought, this is great. I mean, You know, when you see like Buck Rogers, an old Buck Rogers comic strip, or when you watch the old Star Wars movies, I mean, you're always impressed with how it's put together. Like you said, that old fashioned.
Now we're not saying this looked retro at all. It totally didn't.
No. Sorry. Modern. Yeah, I didn't mean to.
But it was just. This was not mincing any genres
No, this was
science fiction.
Yeah, right. It was,
and we had huge structures in the distance, and we had cool spaceships, know, all of that shit.
Yeah.
Weird-looking alien things.
Weapons. And automatons and things. I mean, it was just well put together, well designed, and it did have, like you said, it did have that feeling of good science, good speculative science fiction, where someone took a lot of care to decide what the technology was going to be like. How human beings were going to interact with the technology. Really clever, and that was a really fun aspect to watch, even though the rest of it wasn't so great. I mean, plot-wise, it was pretty good classic science fiction, too, but it just wasn't executed all that well.
Yeah.
But that's the part I enjoyed about it, was the aesthetic and the whole feel, like, wow, this feels like I'm watching.
I was originally, in the beginning, I was going to, my plan was to basically say it is to sci-fi movies what Captain America was to comic book movies. Because remember I said, like, Captain America is dead middle, not exciting, not terrible, but it's just good, solid comic booky stuff.
Well, yeah.
And that's what I felt this was too, but then it got, and I hated the end. And I don't just mean the very end. Pretty much the last, like, half hour.
No, I agree.
It was just a disaster.
I totally agree. But...
And I'm really... I do this nowadays because I have to. I'm very forgiving to start with the ridiculous lack of female characters and the weird cardboard cutouts of female characters and the stupid, you know, underlying misogyny. To a certain level, I'm like, this is what I'd see in any movie of this guy. And
sure.
It makes it not great, but I do. But it spiraled out of control.
Yeah.
And
I was very
unhappy with
this. This is really, I mean, I'm very interested in this notion of things that, like you were saying, feel like, you know, good, strong sci-fi.
Foundational, like, to the genre, sort of.
Yeah, thing. Like Aliens was like that, too. Very, you know, it's whoever... You know, when that film was made, they paid a lot of attention to the set pieces and the props and trying to make it seem authentic, I guess.
And it's a very fine line. It's this weird place between being really subdued because you're being really realistic, but you don't go so far that it's just, like, that there's too much shit. Honestly, as cool as it is, in some ways, certain aspects of Star Wars go too far.
No, you're right. That's right. Actually,
Sort of trying to make the middle road where it's interesting to look at.
Uh-huh.
It's not just like, oh, this is the real world. Like this is cool, but it's not crazy.
Well, I think...
And it's not even... I mean, and I'm using that term. It's a bad metaphor, too, because I'm not talking about, like, stuff on the screen or
either.
But
no, I think I know what you mean. It's a situation where... The design and the aesthetic and all that stuff is very much a part of the story in terms of it's a speculative fictional story. So you're in...
Nothing seems out of place.
No, right. Nothing seems
That's
out
what
of
it
place.
Is. You've got a bunch of cool stuff, but nothing seems like they just stuck it on.
Yeah,
there.
Right. Exactly.
And sci-fi frequently does
which
that.
As you're pointing out, Star Wars was very... Well, we want to make this look old and used, and they just threw a whole bunch of stuff on and achieved that look, and that's great. But
there's all sorts of cool things to look at or whatever. But if you really look at Star Wars, you'd be like, what's that for?
Yeah,
what's that about?
Exactly.
And it's because Star Wars is science fantasy.
That's right. It's not speculative fiction.
Yeah, and that this really hit into that sort of vibe. It's not hard science fiction. It's sort of in the space opera camp. And I liked it. Yeah, I like that aspect of it.
Yeah,
there's a lot wrong with it, but yeah, I mean, if you're looking for that kind of vibe and it's around, I mean, you can totally miss this movie. You can absolutely miss this movie.
It's too bad though, because it with the clever design and the very well planned out lots of things about the plot, it seems like they could have changed just a few things to not make it bad.
Yeah, yeah, and I think they were fundamental. I think they were very movie-ish things.
Yeah, I guess.
Nobody was trying too hard, and then they slipped a little. Yeah.
I don't think there's ever been a time where you've given a review of a film where word for word, everything you said was exactly what I thought. I mean, not that we have very many disagreements about movies.
I actually always have. You're just usually not willing to admit it in your heart.
But yeah, that was pretty much exactly how I felt about it, too. Because there was a part of me that's like thinking, gosh, this movie's... I don't like this movie, really, but I love how it looks, and I love how humans are interacting with the technology, and I love... There's lots of things I like about this. It's just too bad that everything else is so crappy.
It's very inspiring. It was not very good. I believe, from what I could glean, she'll tell me if I'm wrong, I believe the producer liked it less than that.
The producer did not like it.
I don't believe the producer full-on hated it. I mean, we've recently seen Elysium and Riddick. I think the producer would agree with me this is in a totally different camp than either of those.
No comment.
Or maybe not. Oh, apparently the producer's working. What the fuck? I don't know what that's about.
But not on the podcast.
No, not that. She does all that off screen. The very serious work of booking our guests.
Yeah.
Making sure Samuel L. Jackson has enough water to drink while he's doing the hand signals.
Setting up our sponsors.
Yes. Yeah, I think that was my week.
Okay.
So we're at my week to come is interesting. Sunday afternoon, the producer leaves for a conference.
Oh, no. We know what happened last time.
Well, I think this one's not going to be that bad because literally every night she's gone is a work night.
Okay.
So I can't just, you know, stay up till 3 doing stupid shit and then sleep till 1 and then, you know, get myself totally out of whack. So, and basically, because I have gaming on Tuesdays and I have, by the way, we didn't do gaming this week. Somebody had to work late, so we had to cancel. But I have gaming on Tuesdays, and I have this on Thursdays, and I'm leaving on Friday. So, basically, I'll have Sunday night, Monday night, Wednesday night to play Assassin's Creed and eat terrible food.
I see.
But, yeah, she'll be gone for the week, and then Friday, I'll be leaving. She'll be leaving from where she is, and my sister-in-law will be leaving from where she is with our niece and nephew, bringing them to Grand Bear Resort in Utica. Grizzly Jack's Grand Bear Resort in Utica, where we are going to babysit / spoil them rotten. This was our gift to them, was to their parents, was that we would babysit for 48 hours. And so we decided we're just going to go all out, and we're taking this, it's a hotel and resort that has its own water park in it and has an amusement park attached to the park. And it's just crazy. It has bunk beds. And we are just going to spoil the shit out of them, for 2 days and then give them back.
Sounds like a plan.
I'm pretty excited. I've never been to an actual water park in my life.
Really?
Yeah. I've been to pools that had, like, a big, like, spiral slide.
Yeah.
But I've never been to, like, a water park that has, like, multiple things.
I guess I don't think
stuff.
I have either.
And I was looking at the website, and I'm kind of excited. I'm also terrified, because there's going to be so many people and kids and stuff. And also, I'm going to be exhausted. But that'll be fun. But I'll talk to you guys again before that. I will have spent most of my week on my own by the time you hear from us next time.
Do you still want me?
Oh, by the way, listeners should note the producer's new haircut.
Yeah, isn't it awesome?
It is. It's quite nice.
It is. She felt
the listeners will be the first to notice that I cut my hair.
She felt very weird about it the night she came home, but that's because it's a haircut, and so the hair was all freaked out, and they had put weird product in it and stuff like that. By the next day, it was getting better. Now, after it was a disaster that first night, she's been so sad because nobody's noticed since, and I keep pointing out that if she thought it was a disaster and they haven't noticed, clearly it's not that bad. But I actually like it a lot, and it's been growing on me steadily each night, actually.
And it's been growing on her steadily also.
Ah!
So
give us your take on Oblivion, but get in closer, because I don't want to repeat every word you say. It's tiring.
Okay, well, here's the thing. It's kind of complicated.
Okay.
So, what have we got to do?
Yeah.
I feel like, I mean, because we're, okay.
Get in good.
No,
they can hear.
Leave me alone. Sci-fi is a shitty genre if you're a woman. Like, let's just say that.
Right.
It's full up crappy.
To be fair, genres are shitty genres if you're a woman.
Well, there's that, too. But Riddick and what was the other one?
Elysium.
They're full-on just, like, overtly problematic. And no one with any sense is really going to argue with you that there aren't issues inherent in those stories. Okay?
Right.
Nobody here.
Oblivion is kind of like how I feel in my job. Oblivion, the
this is going to get interesting.
The women.
Keep in mind, people from our work do listen to this.
The women in this story are so insignificant that they don't even take the time to treat them in a shitty way. They just might as well not even fucking be there. You could take every woman in that story and replace her with Siri, and nothing would change.
That's true. I think that's very true. We should try that out.
And Tom Cruise is having dreams about Siri?
And somehow that's more, you didn't even notice I was here. Like, you're not even treating me like an object, you're treating me as fucking wallpaper. And that was what was really bugging me last night.
I wonder how often that happens in films where Siri could actually stand in for the female character. We call it the Siri principle.
That's going to be the new test, not the Bechdel
test. Not the Bechdel test. If you can put Siri in, then it's not a good film.
By a very slim margin meets the Bechdel test. Very slim margin.
Well, because, okay, never mind.
There's actually a couple places.
Yeah.
Because I realized there was another two. I'm really curious how this is like her job.
Oh, because we're just getting ignored a lot at work. Like,
okay.
People are like, la la la, and then they come to the end of it. Actually, that's why I was kind of just working, because, like, they got to the point where, like, the process says you have to have something from testing, and they were like, oh, we forgot to ask them. I guess we should call Trish right now.
I thought this was like, the women at my work are completely ignored and could all be replaced by Siri.
Okay. You could make the argument that it potentially has something to do with the fact that all the testers are women, but I think that's maybe putting a little bit too fine point of it.
Could your team be replaced by Siri? That's the important question.
No.
That reminds me. Have you seen the commercial? I think it's comparing the iTab.
Oh, the Windows new tablet with the iPad.
Right.
And Siri's like, let's just go back to reading, don't read that.
Right. And in the comparison, she's kind of losing because she doesn't have a USB port or whatever. But at the end of it, she says, do you still think I'm pretty?
Oh, Jesus, does she really?
Yes.
Like,
oh, I've lost out on all these comparisons, but
to be fair,
do you still think I'm pretty?
That is the thing about Apple, though.
It is the thing about Apple. Also,
but it is a little problematic.
Also,
I don't get to get iOS 7.
And
my iPod's
Siri's
too old.
Siri's voice has changed significantly now, and I'm upset because Siri is kind of like a person to me.
Oh, okay.
And now she's a different
person.
She
sounds
like
late era Phyllis Diller.
She's smarter, and she has a different voice, and I'm just not okay with her.
You can tell she's been smoking a lot, things like that.
You know, I saw something, a video recently about the woman who does that voice and how they record it and stuff, which was very interesting.
Oh, I assumed it was wholly artificial.
Oh, you know what I saw that was really cool?
What did you see that was really cool?
Let's just start talking about stuff that was really cool. I watched a thing on, I don't know, some channel, one of them science channels. It was all about how they build huge stadiums and how that has changed. Because, like, you know, at first they didn't understand about structural engineering, and then they did. But then they came to understand that, like, people would all, like, their team would do well, and so that everybody would stand up at once, and that's very different than if you just have people sitting passively, if you you have to consider them as fluids, almost, rather than solid masses.
Right,
and it was really cool.
Huh. That is interesting.
And I hope you guys heard it.
They did. I'm the only person that they can't hear. I mean, they can hear clear from the room.
I'm much quieter now, apparently. There was a commercial that the producer did not believe existed.
I don't believe anything existed.
When I told her about it. It's a commercial we finally figured out it's a commercial for Sears. And I believe the overall premise was you don't need coupons because Sears always has low prices or something like that. I don't know.
Really? I thought JCPenney's was pulling that stuff some time ago.
Maybe it's you can get your Sears coupons online so you don't need to fuck around with squirrels. Anyway, the whole premise is this guy brings his wife into the living room where he has taught a bunch of squirrels to clip coupons. You looked it up and saw it.
I know, but it's still just weird.
So he brought his wife in to show his, these squirrels that clip coupons. And the part that I... Because I had seen this a few times. And the part I had not realized... Because what happens then is one squirrel gets mad and gives a speech basically inciting the other squirrels into revolt. And they attack the guy.
Okay.
And... The idea being this is a worse plan than whatever the fuck Sears has in mind. Which is either not doing coupons or getting them online or I don't know what. But anyway.
Okay.
During the squirrel's rant, as it were, two things came up this time that I had never noticed before. One is that the squirrel tells his fellow squirrels to, quote, nut up.
Hmm.
And two is that when he finally makes the move and jumps for the guy, I'm fairly certain he shouts, YOLO. But the producer did not even believe this existed, but now she has a cell phone show. She looked it up, and she's seen it. She still doesn't believe it exists.
Because
it's stupid! And no stupid commercials ever exist.
No.
All right, we should do the hat thing. We've been getting bad about that. We used to keep it to a tight half hour of mindless bullshit. I didn't even explain what this show's about at the beginning, so if anybody's listening to this episode as their first episode, sorry, we appreciated you listening this one time.
From Mark. Hard hat number one.
Mark McKibben, hard hat number one.
Have you ever considered creating alternate language versions of the podcast, as in El Sombrero Magico Hablar?
Somebody's been using Google Translate.
Well, here's the thing about that. I mean, of course we've considered it, but we would have to have someone else listening to the podcast and then pretending they're us and saying word for word, it translated, of course, what we had said.
What we should do is we should get that and have them dub it really off so that our mouth moves and it doesn't match.
But nobody can see our mouths moving.
But it'd still be funny.
Okay, but the thing is we don't have the money for this.
We do have it done in sign language for the hearing impaired.
Well, yes.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Technically that's true. This
every
is an
episode.
Alternate, and thanks for that, Sam.
By
the way, you were great in no, never mind.
Don't lie.
I'm not gonna. I was just gonna give a spoiler to something, and I didn't.
Dude.
I don't want to do that.
I don't even know what he was. Oh, I might know. Oh, that's not good. Yeah, don't do that. You can't say you were great in something he's not supposed to be in.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I almost did. Sorry, Zam. We'll talk about it later. Yeah, I mean, we don't have the money to do that. Because no one's going to do it for free like we do.
And what's more...
Well, I do. You get 10 bucks.
I get 20 because I get your 10 bucks,
oh, that's
too.
Right. You get 20 because...
Yeah, I totally make money on this podcast. Yeah. Actually, though, when it comes
rolling
out, even with your fancy Prius, your cost of gas having to come here every week probably evens out to my cost for the web space.
And maintenance.
So we're probably...
Which it needs.
Coming here four times a month did not break your Prius.
No. Well, it's not broken.
Well then, see? Shh. But more than not having the resources, we don't have the interest.
Well, sure we do.
I don't.
Yeah,
no.
We'd love it if the podcast was translated into several different
languages. I feel if people are going to come here to our podcasts,
oh, no,
they need to learn to speak our language.
You know what's even more frightening than that? is people listening to the podcast to learn the language.
Dude.
I mean, that happens. A lot of people, I mean, I have friends who English isn't their first language, but they learned by watching not just a television show, say, but like a particular television show that they would watch.
If you contact us and prove to me that your primary method of learning English is this podcast, I will give you $1,000.
You don't have $1,000.
I will find a way to give you $1,000.
No. I hope that's not the
My
case.
My wife will give you $1,000.
This is no way to... You know, really it takes television because you need to be able to see their lips moving.
Every time they come up to anybody, they're like, hello.
Oh, no, I'm not going to say that.
When anybody pauses in a conversation, they're like, and then gives up.
Okay, we need to move on to something else.
I used and then gives up the other day, and unfortunately I used it with somebody who has no context whatsoever. So they were looking at me really weird.
Yeah, we need to move on to something else.
Should we move on to something else? Press one.
Please, let's do. Quickly.
Para en español. Press. What's press? I don't know.
I don't know.
Dos.
Just draw something else.
Oh, wait, no. That. I have to give us... there's a news segment.
A news segment? You're probably swearing in Morse code. You don't even know it.
I'm killing time while I pull this thing up.
That's not anachronistic.
Most of our podcast listeners are an average age of 64, so... All right. I got an email today from Azure Talon.
Oh, good. Yeah, let's hear some good news. I hope
here we go.
News.
It is good.
Okay, good.
Up here in Iowa City again for the weekend. Just got my MRI this morning. Little bit of mass left in the right side, but the one on the left and the big one in the back are gone.
Excellent.
Little bit left could be scar tissue.
Oh.
Still two more Temodars to be sure. It's basically gone and we're following rule number one now, always double tap. Technically, I believe that is rule number two. I believe rule number one is cardio. bone marrow will follow at some point soon. That was that crazy-ass thing I was telling you guys about where he'll be, like, unconscious for 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Because they'll just flood his body with chemo.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so that'll come. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to visit him this weekend, especially with Trish leaving. It's kind of crazy this weekend.
Yeah, my brother Scott's coming in town.
Well, you guys could both visit.
Well, no, because...
Then you can get my headphones back.
We've already got a whole bunch of stuff planned.
He's got my headphones.
But he's going to be all weekend, maybe. Maybe though.
I imagine he will be. It's sometimes quick, but not that quick. How does my shirt smell, Ezzy? You seem way into it. Did you just rub your kitty snot on my shirt?
Sure did.
Wow.
Are you going to draw something else?
First of all, you should blow your nose. And second of all, you should not blow your nose on my shirt.
Draw something else out of that.
All right, I'm getting there.
Just one more thing. Because that's probably all we have time for.
Mm-hmm. We went through that first one pretty fast.
Sorry, Mark. There wasn't much to say
about
it.
Ow. That was Ezzy.
Is that the end of the
new
segment?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lots of sound effects in this episode.
Thank you and good night.
And that's the way it was.
All right. This is from Craig.
Oh, Craig.
Craig of, what are we saying, Southeast England?
I don't know.
Craig the Scotsman. this is a long one. Really long. It's not been abridged, but it looks like somebody would have been really annoyed if they had to hand type all of this out. Dear Tony and William.
Oh. Well, that was nice.
That's us.
People hardly ever call us that. They make up some cute little thing.
I think they can't remember our names.
Hat thralls. Well, maybe that's true.
I think.
I mean, that would be true for me. I wouldn't be able to remember.
Sometimes I forget which one's Tony and which one's William. It's a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern kind of thing.
Yeah.
Does the U.S. political system come across as stupid to Americans as it does to me as an outsider? in parenthetical, sent at the start of the October government shutdown.
Well, it really depends on precisely what you mean. I mean, the fact of the matter is there are a lot of aspects of the American political system that a lot of Americans do think is stupid, but there are other aspects that they, you know what I'm saying, it's complicated. Like, for example, I think the two-party system is terribly flawed and ridiculous.
Remember, you're there are also a lot of people asking this of an anarchist and a lazy hypocrite, so...
But a lot of people think that the two-party system is superior than...
Really?
Oh, yeah, a lot of people think that.
I have never, to my knowledge, encountered anyone with that belief. Yeah. I've never encountered anyone who has expressed that belief to me.
Oh, geez. I've experienced a lot of people who... You mean you've never run into someone who has said if you don't vote for a Republican or a Democrat, you're throwing your vote away?
I have heard that.
Well, a lot of those, not all of them.
I don't translate that to the two-party system.
And you shouldn't. I'm not saying that everyone who says that believes that, but there are some people who've told me that, which to me that's a ridiculous notion. You're not throwing your vote away, whoever you vote for. But I've pressed some of these people on this way of thinking, and they've defended the two-party system as being superior because, you know, like a parliamentary system where you're dividing the government up with all these various interests, they think that, you know, that doesn't force a compromise the way the two-party system does. Of course, right now, the notion of the two-party system forcing a compromise seems mm-hmm. like a joke. Mm-hmm. But these people would point out that, okay, yes, this really high-profile situation where there's not a compromise seems like it's going against the grain, but the fact of the matter is laws do get passed, compromises are made more often than not. This really highly dramatized disagreement that's not going anywhere is really the exception and not the rule, and the two-party system helps make that work because when you force people to sort of shoehorn everything into a two-party way of thinking, you sort of funnel them or into a place where you can get some compromise, and you actually get compromised more often than you don't. Now, I disagree with this argument.
Well, and they would need to cite, as an example, another nation that has the other type of government and how they get so much less compromised than we do, which, to my knowledge, they can't do.
Well, no, I mean, I think they can in a lot of places. I mean, it's not uncommon for a parliamentary government to have to dissolve and start over because they can't seem to get anywhere. I mean, that happens.
Well, but, yeah, if that was built into the U.S. system, we'd be dissolved all the fucking time. The only reason our Congress doesn't dissolve is it's not built so that it can.
I get what you're saying. And again, I'm not... Of course, I think the two-party system is ridiculous. There's a lot of things about the government that I think is ridiculous. But as Tony just pointed out, I'm an anarchist, so that's kind of... You know.
And I barely know what's going on.
But there's...
Actually, rephrase that. I don't know what's going on.
Ask just about any American... this question, and they'll have something about American government that they don't like and that they think is ridiculous, and something else that they will defend because they think it makes sense, and then the next person will have a completely different answer. So, you know, the question you're asking, Craig, it depends a little bit on who you're asking. It depends on what you're talking about, but I presume since you brought up the government shutdown and everything, you're talking about how our government can't seem to come to an agreement on something that, on the surface, seems really simple.
And I should point out, this question is coming from an individual whose nation has both a monarchy and something called the House of Lords.
Right. So, but also universal health care.
Yes, no, absolutely. But my point is, we all have crazy shit. And I think... Well, and I know a lot of Brits who will complain about the British government as much as anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So the point is that somebody from that perspective who's like, wow, at least we're not that, is pretty impressive. Help me out here. Like I said, I don't really know even what's going on. But didn't this happen just a few years ago?
It's been an ongoing thing, really.
But we're like, oh no, the government's going to shut down if this happened, and then that date hit, and the government did shut down for like 4 weeks.
Well,
and I am totally privileged and and have a cushy life and make a good living, I didn't notice for a moment, and I'm not noticing now.
Well, I mean, the people that are going to notice, to be honest, I'm kind of appalled at how many things it actually affects. Now, granted, it's not going to affect you because you're not using a lot of the programs or mm-hmm. whatever that are affected. But the thing is, when you think about it, under the Republican form of government that the United States is supposed to have, if the federal...
You're saying Republican as a governmental form, not the party.
No, right. If the federal government shuts down, this should mean almost nothing to the states or to Iowa City, and yet it does. And I think that's a travesty. But it is affecting some things. And, you know, the health care law that's commonly called Obamacare sort of kicked in October 1st. That was the time everyone could go to the state-run exchanges and find their insurance. But because the federal government is involved in funding a lot of the state initiatives behind these things, some people had a hard time finding people to talk to about these things. And so,
and in some states, it was set up such that the law would not allow them to talk to people.
So there are a lot of
there have been some really weird games. Which this is the part that's driving me crazy. You fought against it, you lost. So now you're just trying to hamstring things. Saturday Night Live recently premiered its season. It was actually a pretty good episode. And during Weekend Update, they said, and now that it is passed, there are certain people on the Republican side of things that are seeking to just defund it before it even started.
That's right.
Because the Republicans know, if you don't get your way, kick the ball into the woods. And well, that's what I feel. I feel like there's a lot of, and honestly, I'm putting a lot of, this is me just getting bits and pieces. So full disclaimer, I don't know what I'm talking about and I'm out of touch with the world. But people who are coming from, in my opinion, very disparate political positions, almost contradictory political positions, many of them are laying a lot of the blame at the feet of John Boehner.
Yeah, well,
including Republicans.
Right.
And it seems like it's another one of these damn principled stance things. And at this point, you're just a crazy guy screaming from the top of the building.
Well, the thing is, Republicans in general, my observation, and I don't know precisely where Craig is coming from, but I actually have been noticing specific things that Europeans kind of seem to be criticizing most about the United States right now, and that is... And it's mostly about the Republicans. And
I thought it was about our smell.
No, there's two things.
We smell like milk.
Two big things that they're having a problem with the Republicans, and they're baffled by it, is the Republicans' resistance to the health care law. Because a lot of Europeans have universal health care, and they like it for the most part. And even if they don't like it, they understand it philosophically, like health care. People should be able to get health care. And they think that, you know, if you're going to have a government that is looking out for people in any way, shape, or form, that, you know, helping them get health care would be one of the things that the government would help them do. And so it seems like a no-brainer to them, and yet the Republicans seem to be against it. And also gun control and gun issues.
Yeah.
So they're looking at the United States, and they're looking at the Republicans and some vocal conservative voices and some people on the internet who are very vocal about these things and defending the Second Amendment and everything. And they're wondering, why is it the United States or some people in the United States, a significant number of people in the United States, including some politicians, want to live in the Wild West, you know, where everyone's carrying guns and, you know, there's no universal health care. If you're going to have health care, you hope, you know, a doctor personally or something to come over and take care of you. I mean, they just think that a lot of Americans are living in the 19th century or something. And so it looks ridiculous and stupid, but there are actually a lot of subtle issues here that are complicated. It might not seem complicated on the outside. It might seem, like I say, it seems like a no brainer to a lot of Europeans, universal health care, gun laws and stuff, but it actually isn't that simple. It's very complex and it's going to take a long time for some of the stuff to get hammered out. But it's hard to explain, really, to someone who's not an American, I think.
Or to someone like me who's an American and just not interested.
That's true. There are a lot of people, Americans, who would disagree with what I just said. They'd say, no, it's really straightforward and simple, but it really isn't. And if it was, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in right now. I mean, a lot of people want to characterize it as, no, it's just this group's being obstinate. It's just this group being bad. But it's really more complicated than that. It really, truly is. And it's going to take some time for us to figure out how to navigate all of this.
And it's going to take more time than we have for him to explain
it. Yeah, right.
So he's not going to do it.
No, I'm not.
Because I will punch him in the throat.
But thanks, Mark and Craig, for your questions.
Thank you so much. We got a couple minutes. Not enough for a question.
I don't really know what to say.
I'm making 10.1 billion cookies at this point.
Great. And your laptop has been running continuously this whole time.
I shut it down just before this started because I always reboot it the day of the podcast. Even before I was doing Cookie Clicker, I do that.
But that means you had to start over your cookies.
No. You just aren't collecting them.
It
saves your information via a cookie.
Yeah.
And in fact, you can export it as a file and then import it like to a different computer if you wanted to.
I see.
Don't play it, people. Seriously. But Drop 7 is still really good, so you should play that. And you should play the Assassin's Creed games.
And Gone Home, which I haven't played that yet.
Seriously, I think that's going to be a very big deal for you.
You keep saying that, but I don't know when I'm going to have time to play a thing like that.
I don't think you believe me.
Well, I know I believe you.
If you believe it was a big deal, as I'm trying to imply it is, you would easily find 3 hours.
Well, then it's not an issue of my not believing you. It's an issue of I don't fully comprehend, perhaps, what's so great about it.
That's why you got to play it.
Well, I need to find the
time. I think as a creative person, as a filmmaker, and as a person with other aspects that I don't want to say because it would be spoilery to it.
Okay.
I think it'd be very
good for
you. Well,
hopefully I have a chance to do it sometime here in the near future.
I found out there's a place called bundleofholding.com or maybe .net. I don't know. Bundle of Holding is what it's called. And it's like the Humble Bundle, but for RPG books.
I don't know what the Humble Bundle is.
Haven't I talked about the Humble Bundle before?
Maybe you have.
The Humble Bundle is a thing. You can go to humblebundle.com. Originally, it was the people took a bunch of video games that were pretty cheap, but they took a bunch of them. Like 6 or 7 different ones that people like donated that you could buy.
Oh wait, no.
For
is
pay
it,
whatever
is this
you
the thing
want,
where they
thing.
Also have like comedy CDs?
They had one comedy one.
Okay,
yes.
So yeah, you did talk about.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I found out there's a separate thing called Bundle of Holding that's the same thing but for RPG books.
Oh.
And I'm really sad because they had a Fate one a little while back that I missed out on, but I'm gonna keep an eye out on that now because that would be awesome. And it's, again, sort of pay-what-you-want thing. They adjusted slightly in that one. It's pay-what-you-want, minimum $4, I believe, but still. So that's very cool. So check that out, people. I don't know if I'll put anything in the show notes. I might put that commercial since my wife still doesn't believe it exists. But.
All right, then.
What are we going to call this episode?
I'm sure you'll think of something.
Murdering Tax Collectors.
Tax collector side or something.
Killing dogs.
Let's get the NSA involved. No, they'll never listen.
Replacing all women with Siri.
The Siri test.
The Siri test.
Yeah.
That actually could be. We did invent a new thing.
Actually, you could replace me with Siri. I don't know why you don't.
William, how much further to our location?
How much further to the end of the podcast?
Bing! I don't know. You're the one looking at the computer. Dumbass. All right. Yeah. Ezzy's here, and she's purring. I'm a little worried about her right now. I think her tummy's been bugging her again lately.
I don't know what this video is called that talks about making the voice, you know, Siri's voice or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, if you, people can find it, it's worth looking at. It's very interesting how they figure it out. Very interesting.
Yeah, check that out. Anyway, go find something to do. We're busy.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.